in what ways has it just changed you?
I just love people. And I guess before, I didn't love myself. I didn't think I was worthy. He took my hand and he pulled me out, just like cleaned me off, you know, and he's like, I love you. You're beautiful. I've worried about each of you kids at different times for different things. The Lord always says, Katie, you can't see them, but I see them. I love them more than you do. So that always gives me a peace. I've missed a day or two, but I always get right back because I know what I used to be before I really became a strong Christian woman. Before then, I knew what I used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was raunchy.
Yeah. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Salty Podcast. Today, I have a very, very special guest. I've been hinting at it for a while that I wanted her on here with me, and it is my mom. So here's my mom.
Hi.
Katie Bell Hart. It's so funny, I guess, like us talking in this kind of form.
I know. I feel a little strange.
I do too.
Like, what are we going to talk about?
It feels
about?
So professional.
It does.
I know. I'm praying that that wall breaks, that it, you know, because I know our conversation can be so good, especially. And what's also weird is that people are going to be in on our conversation.
Yeah.
Because before, it's typically always on the phone.
Yeah.
Or just nobody knows.
Mm-mm, nobody knows.
So
it's just us.
Now they're going to hear us talk.
Yeah.
And I asked mom before we started, I was like, what do you want to talk about? Because there's so much.
Yeah.
But obviously, I feel like I'll have you on here multiple times because there might be other categories we can talk about because there is so much. I mean, you raised, I'm 25 and you have a lot of kids.
I do.
You have a lot of stories to tell.
I do.
But today, I just, since it is your first and, you know, I feel like the testimony part is going to be really good.
Okay.
So, gosh, it's so funny because I'm like, it's my mom.
And I'm like, that's my daughter, and we're like on a talk show. That's what I feel like.
Okay. So maybe lots of laughs, lots of tears, whatever. Let's just start from the beginning. Like, how, when did you become a Christian?
When I was little, I would go to Camp Victory here in Alabama. So I did all the stuff, you know, I learned the Bible verses and we prayed the prayer and I loved it. I mean, I really felt like, because, you know, it says, Bible says that for us to come to Jesus as little children, I really did.
Mm-hmm.
I really felt that, you know.
At a young age?
Yeah. I think the first time I was like in the third grade and I went again in the fifth grade to this little camp and it was great. I really wanted that and loved Jesus as a little kid. And I really wasn't raised in church, but so that was, and I learned about that through school.
Okay. I was going to ask if it was through like your parents.
Yeah,
or...
it was through, so here, Alabama, in the little county schools, we had the Bible ladies that would come, and we loved it. I think they would come on Wednesdays, and they took about an hour of our time, and they did these little old-timey little Bible stories. You flipped up this felt thing, and they put the characters, you know, on it.
That's so nostalgic.
Did you ever see any
of
that?
I remember the felt things.
Yeah.
I miss those.
Yes.
Bring them back.
That's so much. Let's do one.
Bring them back.
That's
yeah.
so good. But anyway, so I remembered it. And we would all sit on the floor as little kids. And we're just like watching. So they're the first ones who told me about, or our little class, about Camp Victory. I don't know if they were involved in that somehow. But you had to do these little Bible lessons. Because we didn't have much money growing up. So we had to do the lessons and get the discount. And so I did it and I just loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to go to camp and I felt like I was kind of grown up. I didn't have parents there with
yeah.
me. And anyway, it was great. And so that was the first time I prayed that prayer was at camp, you
mm-hmm.
know, and then went back home. And actually here in this town,
yeah,
we would walk to the church here. Us kids would walk on Sundays, put on what we thought was cute or pretty Sunday dress and would walk to church. So all of that played a big part into me becoming a for real Christian as an adult.
Like that just kind of introduced you to the idea of it.
It did. And then when I was like teens, I just didn't have a good foundation with it. Mm-hmm. So I just did everything that teenagers do.
Yeah. No, that's such a good point about the foundation thing. Mm-hmm. And because that really sets the tone for how your relationship with God's going to be.
Yeah.
And like all the scripture about the parables that Jesus would say, planting your seeds on mm-hmm. different grounds, and how that all comes about.
Yeah.
Like that's a whole Bible story in and of itself, but it is so true. And mm-hmm. so build it, and then building your house on a firm foundation. Because if I've had multiple times in my life where I can tell the foundation has cracks in it, mm-hmm. because then things start to fall and seep through the cracks, and you're like, whew.
Yeah.
And only God can come and repair those.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And He convicts you.
Yeah.
You know, or I mean, and it's not even now as, you know, 52 years old. If I get up late, even just a little bit late, and I start thinking about work and thinking about what I got to do, and if I don't pick up my Bible study, and then all of a sudden time gets away from me, mm-hmm. The enemy wants me to do that. Mm-hmm. Because if I do that one day, then 2 days, then 3 days, then you start getting some little cracks.
Yeah.
You know, and it is so hard to get back and repair those cracks. Mm-hmm. But the Lord will, especially if you've been walking with Him a long time.
Yeah.
He, you know, and I know His voice. Mm-hmm. I mean, He is my Father, and I know I can hear Him, you know, okay, Katie, you need to get back on track.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm so glad that I do know His voice like that, because I see people who have backslidden.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't ever want to go that route.
Yeah.
But I think if you get a very good, strong foundation, you can't really backslide like that.
Yeah.
You know, I see people who have backslidden, like, I mean, like way, way back. And I'm like, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. But I feel like they just didn't have that strong of a foundation.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, I've missed a day or two, but I always get right back because I know what I used to be mm-hmm. before I really became a strong Christian woman. Before then, I knew what I used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was raunchy.
Yeah. Y'all. So I've said on here multiple times just how the way I am and how I grew up. I mean, you're one of the main reasons me and all of your kids are this way, and like where mm-hmm. how we can love the Lord and try to have that relationship with Him is because, yes, not only by your words, but you walked the walk. And So, you know, when I tell people, I'm like, my mom's the most spiritual woman I know. She's so strong in her faith, and it's admirable. But it didn't just come easy for you. Like, you have such a story.
Yeah, and you have to be intentional, you mm-hmm. know, and you have to. But so, yeah, so did you want me to tell you about
that? Yeah, I want, like, I feel like because some people get discouraged and they see women of God that mm-hmm. are really strong in their faith, and they're just like, dang, like they're perfect.
Right. And they think, you know, it's funny because in the restaurant, you know, we have a lot of young women. We have a couple young men too, but we have a lot of young women that come through the restaurant, and they see me as I am now.
Yeah.
You know, and then I have a friend that would, she used to tell some of our old stories. And I'm like, shh, don't say that. Don't tell them. And they're like, that's not Miss Katie.
Right. It's a complete.
That is not you. And I said, that was the old me. Mm-hmm. I said, but this is the new me. This is who God transformed me into.
The new wineskin.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of stuff. I did a lot of things that y'all don't even know.
She always says that.
And I will probably never tell you. I've told my mama some stuff, and Sage has recently told me some stuff
that she did.
Yeah. And I'm like, when she told me some things, the first thing I thought was, I am never telling my mama anything else I did. Because I was just, it made me, when Sage told me some things, you know, and it's not bad stuff, but it was just stuff that I didn't know, and I'm her mama, and I felt like I should have known that.
Yeah.
Just made me cry.
Yeah.
And I was like, does my mama feel that way when I tell her stuff?
Yeah.
Even now, you know, all grown up.
Yeah.
I was probably, I know exactly how old I was. I was 24. And I was a drinking, cussing bartendress.
So ironic. She is, I would have never believed that.
Yep, I was. I was a little bit feisty. You know, I had married your dad, and Sage was just like literally a couple weeks old. And something really traumatic happened, you know, and I wanted to die. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, I knew I couldn't die. I had two kids, you know? And so I just, I thought, well, what do I do? You know? And the thought came into my mind, well, you haven't tried church, you know? And so I made up my mind. I was like, I'm going to church because I can't die. Because I have two children that depend on me.
Yeah.
So I went and visited, you know, one of the local churches here. I remember that first Sunday, taking Sage and taking Brent, and I cried like a baby. Probably about three Sundays into it, and I was feeling better. Not there yet, but just kind of going through the motions because I'm like, okay, I've got to keep on. Something's got to change. I don't know if they still do it, but they would do like Wednesday night visitations. Mm-hmm. And the pastors, he was an associate pastor. He was the son of like the main pastor. Him and another guy came and knocked on my door. And
like at home?
At home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I answered the door. I don't answer the door much anymore.
hide.
But I did. I was like, I answered the door. They came in and they talked and I was like, hey, we saw where you've been visiting our church, you know, welcome, blah, blah, blah. And the Holy Spirit just started working. And
at that moment, I bet you cried at the door, didn't you?
I cried the whole time they were there.
Oh.
And I just told him everything that had happened, you mm-hmm. know, and I probably traumatized them. I don't know. They probably see that actually.
I mean, hey, this world's full of broken people. And
it is. And that's their job. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's their calling. That's their gift. So I don't even know to this day if they know the impact that they made on me. You know, I mean, it's really, if you look at it, that person that I became your mama, mm-hmm. you know, and now look what you're doing, mm-hmm. you know, and your sisters.
I'm just so thankful you found Jesus.
I know. 'Cause you did not want the other mama.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, you could just see it in his face. He's like, do you know Jesus? And I was like, I think so. 'Cause you know, I knew I had done the Camp Victory and all that stuff. And I definitely wasn't living the way I should have been living. And he said, well, do you want to? And I was like, yes. And I just gurgled, burbled, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Oh. And he prayed that prayer with me. And right there in my living room, I had this feeling of forgiveness come over me for the person, you know, that wrecked me. And I can't even explain it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cry right this minute talking about it.
I know, me too. Okay, the tissues have been gotten. Okay.
Surrender.
We got a pregnancy and a menopausal woman up in here.
Yes. So we got all kinds of things happening.
Mom will call. We'll call and talk in the morning, and she'll just like, I'm about to cry. I'm like, me too.
Or today, it was more of, I'm so annoyed.
Oh, yeah.
I could feel it like
boiling in you.
I could feel it boiling. And I was like,
Okay. I got to go home and I got to pray.
Okay. So you said you felt the love. This yes, love
and this, forgiveness. And y'all, this that I needed to forgive, it was not an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know.
Was it like forgive? I know what you're talking about, yeah. But was it multiple other things too? And like forgiving yourself, or in this moment, was it just forgiving this one person?
It was just that one person, okay. You know, because that's what I was so revolved or what was happening and yeah. What I was so focused on that my life was just, you know, falling apart.
Yeah.
It was so good. And I just felt the Lord. I just felt Him like I'd never, ever felt Him before in my life. Mm-hmm. And I remember, Mother's Day happened not too long after that. And I remember getting, and I was good. I was like, I was redeemed and I was feeling like, I was sad about the situation, but I didn't want to die anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw light. So I got a phone call from, someone. And it was Mother's Day. I just got home from church. Mm-hmm. They said, hey, I just want to call and tell you happy Mother's Day. And I just sat there. And I said, well, thank you. And they said, they got real quiet at first. And then they said, I really thought you were going to cuss me out and hang up on me.
Wow, that shows your transformation already.
Yeah, already. And I said, no. I said, if God can forgive people for all kinds of things and murder and all kinds of things, then who am I to not be able to forgive you?
Wow.
And that relationship started healing, mm-hmm. You know, and it was good. But it was good. It was for me.
Yeah.
All that was like for me and my healing and mm-hmm. my transformation.
Yeah.
You know, and then I have continued on that walk.
Yeah.
You know, Sage was 2 weeks old. Mm-hmm. And because she was born on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And then that happened with, you know, me giving my life to the Lord between Valentine's and Mother's Day.
Yeah.
1996.
Yeah. That's the pivotal moment in your walk with God, you'd say, mm-hmm. when you kept the path.
Yeah.
And how from like having that moment and be like, I want to know Jesus, to now the in-between process, what has that looked like?
All over the place.
Yeah.
You know, because I had, you know, 4 more children. After that,
yeah.
You know, and then it's like a roller coaster, you know, because, and I'm sure you know too, like with your walk with the Lord, yeah. you're like there mm-hmm. and you just feel Him and He is just there. And then life happens and, you know, the enemy's constantly distracting us yeah. and putting things in our path and trying to pull us away from the Lord. And we do give in some, yeah. you know, and then the next time we're like, oh, no, I recognize that. I see that coming. I'm not falling for that trick. Mm-hmm. And you just, if I'm over here and I started, you know, in third grade, you know, and then come way back down
yeah.
as I become a teenager and then in my 20s back and then kind of,
yeah,
you know, like that.
It's almost like a steady. If your walk with God is a steady incline, because the more you, day by day, if you're following Him, you know, it is that sanctification process. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn more, know more about Him as life goes on, but it's like a steady incline, but there are going to be the dips in that too.
There are.
On the way up.
It is. And some of it is, a lot of it is the enemy. And then some of it's just like human nature where you haven't been as intentional.
Intentionality is important.
And mm-hmm. the enemy will use some tricks or people or situations and we might give in or, you know.
Yeah.
And so if you're intentional and you get up and you're in your word every single day, that it's just about impossible to go back down to a dip. Not saying it don't happen, but it can.
So it has been that just gradual growth to like where you are now. Because I will say, even looking back when I was a young kid, really before I started seeing you in the word, like I remember, I don't know how old I was, but there was a time when it switched and that's when your routine started, when you would wake up and get in the word.
Yeah.
And that became, oh, mom's reading her Bible.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And that's why I, to this day, I think of that every time I'm like, I need to get in the word like mom did.
Yeah.
In the mornings.
And
you know?
Part of that is, and I started that before you, like I was still at the Southside Baptist Church when I was doing that.
Yeah.
Because I started like, found Bibles, Beth Moore Bible studies and all those studies. That was such a big part of my growth too, is getting in there, getting those and getting in some women's groups and women's praying for you and praying with you, you know, that's just huge, huge, huge. But so in the mornings and another thing too, like, you know how I used to tell y'all, even if I was sick, I would still go to church because I wanted y'all to be there, you know? So it was like, it was a sacrifice, but not a sacrifice, but because I just always, I wanted y'all to soak it up like I was soaking it up, you know?
Yeah.
I never wanted y'all to go through some of the stuff I've been through.
Yeah.
And that was some of my biggest prayers. Still to this day, I pray for my kids and now my grandchildren, you know, every night, every morning, every time I think about it, you know, just riding around down the road.
Yeah.
And God has been so faithful and so good. You know, I mean, I look at you and Hunter's relationship, you know, and I also prayed for y'all's spouses before I knew who they were going to be, you know, because I never wanted y'all to go through what I went through. And it's so good because I look at you and Hunter and I'm like, that is an answered prayer.
Yeah.
You know, and I look at Brian and Logan and Sage and Connor and Scout and Gideon, you know, it's just, it makes me so happy.
I bet
that y'all are, you know,
it shows like for you, like how prayers work, praying works, talking to God, asking specific things do work. But I remember like always knowing you were in the word, but there was a pivotal moment where I remember you used to be really strict, but now I'm like, gosh, she had six kids. I would be some days when Ivy's here and it's just Ivy and I'm like, oh, I'm like, how did mom do it with six of us all in there? So I understand now.
Yeah.
I'm like, bless you. I understand why you're a little stressed. And so forgive me for in the past, if I'm like, why are you so stressed?
Why are you crazy?
Probably. We probably said that to you.
I know.
I'm like, why are you so strict? Yelling at us.
Listen,
or whatever.
I know. Do you remember
what?
When y'all would say, stop yelling?
And, you'd
and
say,
I would say, this is not yelling. This is yelling.
Oh, how could I forget? That is a famous line by my mother. But so obviously as we got older, it got better. We were more independent. But I could still see your growth grow over time too. Okay, so you were talking about how you just know his voice and like can hear his voice. What does that look like for you?
This may sound a little crazy, but I have, you know, heard his voice because, you know,
like audibly.
Once I know I've heard it audibly, and I just heard him say, Katie.
Wow.
You know,
chilling.
But all the rest of the times it's in my head.
Yeah.
And it is,
you just know.
It comes out of left field.
Yes.
Okay. It's like you remember the time at the restaurant and it was COVID. Like COVID had just happened. Like it was March of 2020 and nobody knew. We didn't know what to do because, I mean, I was watching the clouds. I just knew Jesus was coming back.
Yeah.
Because we were all stunned about what was happening, you know. And we didn't have any dine-in. Everything had to be to go. And we were making a delivery to the hospital. And it was me and another girl. And we pulled up to the red light and a van crossed our path. And it said John 3:16. And so we both were like, oh, it's John 3:16. And we started, you know, reciting that verse. And then got on down the road, made our delivery. We were coming back and walked into the kitchen. And then, so, you know, I bake my bread every day. So we bake our tomato bread, wrap it, and then we date it. And so as we had come back from the delivery, I looked down and we have all our loaves of tomato bread there to put away. And there's the date. 3:16, 3:16, 3:16, all across these bread. And I look at her and I was like, I said, okay, God is talking, you know. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Yeah. So literally the saving verse, like what?
The saving verse.
You introduce Jesus to somebody, you're like, hey.
John 3:16. Yeah. Yeah. And so on the bread, it said 3:16. And we had just seen the van that said that verse on there, you know. Anyway, so that night I just started thinking about it and I could not shake the feeling. And it was like God was nudging me and to put a verse or do something in those bags that was going out to customers. And so the thought came to my mind, well, put John 3:16 on a piece of paper and put it in all the bags. And then I was like, no, that's stupid. People are going to think I'm stupid. And then I heard the Lord say in my head, Katie, I'm not asking you to build an ark. I'm telling you or asking you to put a piece of paper in a bag. Can you do that?
So simple.
So simple. And I think that's a lot of times is people think that, you know, to be a missionary, you got to go to Haiti. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to go to Africa. You got to do all the things. No, we can do it right here, you know. Anyway, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do what you're telling me to do. So I started doing it. You know, I said, even if it saves one person, then that's what matters. So that was March of 2020. We're still doing those to this day. And it's 2024.
Oh, you still put them in there?
We still put them in there. So 4 years later, still doing it. So about 2 weeks after that, after I made up my mind that I was going to do as I was told, I was walking in the hall at the restaurant and I stopped dead in my tracks and I heard the Lord say, you were born for such a time as this. And I said, So I went on to where I was headed to. I think I was going to the bathroom. And then I came back and I was like, I called my mama and I said, hey, what time was I born? And she said, you were born at 3:16 in the morning. You know, that was the Lord.
Yeah.
And if I had not been obedient and put the stuff in the back, you know, all the things, there's like, it's like connecting the dots, you know, but there's been so many things that God has saved my life.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's more if you just like are intentional with looking for little signs and looking to hear from him.
Yeah.
You will.
You remember when y'all were little? And we used to do, you may not remember, you were a little bit younger, but we would do scavenger hunts. And I would say, we're looking for clues from God. And so I was trying to teach y'all then.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
I think Sage probably really remembers that, you know, because the Lord is speaking to us all the time.
All the time. Well, whenever I really try to, I'm like, okay, God, I want to hear from you. I start seeing even little dainty things, like if I start seeing multiple butterflies a day, I'm like, all right, God, what you're trying to tell
me? That's exactly right.
And like even entertaining that those little signs are from him, it makes your relationship like fun.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, That's so cool. And everything kind of ends up having some kind of meaning one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And also I want to say, do you remember, so that time during COVID, that was when I was reading like in Deborah or, and the verse came to me, you were born for such a time as this.
Yeah.
Esther 4:14. That's that verse, I think.
Yeah, it is.
So it was kind of like the same.
Yeah, you were reading the Deborah anointing time, right?
Yeah.
Is that when I gave you that?
Yeah.
Book? Yeah.
And that was around the same time too, when you were, I was still at work as a PTA, right before I quit, and you were saying how you could feel like God was telling you a new, like, refresh, reset was reset. Happening. Reset.
Yeah. Because, you know, reset, he gave me reset when it was time change right on March the 8th. So that was before we had the first news. You know, nobody knew nothing. We were just living life. And March 8th was a Sunday, and it was, the time had just changed, you know, the night before. And I normally don't like, is it spring ahead? Yeah. I don't like spring ahead. Mm-hmm. I like fall back better. But for when I woke up that morning, I was just like, I don't know. I just was so excited.
Yeah.
You know, and when I was reading my Bible, and the word reset kept popping out at me, you know, and then I was like, well, reset the clocks. We just reset the clocks last night, you know, and so something, and I knew it was so funny. I remember now. So that was Sunday. So Monday, I went into work to the restaurant, and I was so excited. I was just like jumping up and down. I was like, y'all, I said, God's about to do something really big. He gave me the word reset. I said, I'm so excited. And they were getting excited, you know. And then
COVID.
Then COVID. The world shut down.
Yeah.
And the dining room. And I was like, and the employees, they, I had to let most of them go on unemployment, you know. And I, because then we did it as a family. We did it. And I was like, Lord, this is not what I thought you were talking about. I thought we was about to be a millionaire, you know. I thought our bills were about to be paid, you know. And then that wasn't it at all. So many things happened
because
my sister passed away, you know, and just crazy, 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 crazy stuff.
But it's like that reset, that's when the John 3:16 happened.
And
from that, I mean, that's, there's so many stories in that and how it's affected people, like, calling you and be like, I got that in my to-go box, and then told you their testimony and what that meant to them that day. And so sometimes God wants to reset things in our life, or we feel like something's coming. And so automatically we think, oh my gosh, this is, it's going to be like the best thing ever. And it benefit us in that kind of way. And like how you were saying, I'm going to be a millionaire, blah, blah, blah. But his version of reset is 10 times better.
Yeah.
And even though if you don't see it in the moment, but you were still finding joy in that because chaos was going around you, but you were looking for him in those moments, being intentional and seeing the John 3:16 and just those little listening and like listening to God, you'll find way more enjoyment in what he wants than what we want for ourselves.
That was one of the things too, is when we get those phone calls from people or a message on Facebook or whatever, and they would tell, you know, give us their testimony. And we had, because, you know, also at that time, I don't know if it was you or Scout. I think it was Scout. Scout was writing messages on the boxes.
Yep.
And one of them, she wrote, you're going to see a victory. Do you remember this story?
I do.
She, so the customer called like within 20 or 30 minutes, so quick. She's like, she was crying. And she said, y'all have no idea what this just meant to us. This is a very sweet family that I, since then, because of that, I've gotten very close to. And they just have a hard road with their family. And but you talk about precious and loving the Lord. I mean, I just feel unworthy to be her friend. And I just love her so much. Shawnee, if you're watching this, I'm talking about you. but anyway, so what happened was they just struggled a lot, you know, and, her husband, I can't remember if she said it or if he said it, but they said, you know what? We're going to see a victory. We are claiming it. We are going to see a victory. And then they got that box.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and so it was just like confirmation. Mm-hmm. And just anyway. And since then, you know, things have gotten better for them too.
Yeah.
And their,
that's awesome.
Their children. I just love that, you know?
Yeah.
To see the people, when we are intentional, like those things, we're just trying to help somebody else feel better. You know, it works.
Yeah. I love that. Why is it worth following Jesus to you? Like, obviously, you can feel the transformation, and I've seen it. People that you knew the old you, they're like,
yeah.
Ooh, Katie Bell used to not be this way. That's if the if they
exactly.
knew the old you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why will you continue to follow Jesus? Or I guess in what ways has it just changed you, you know?
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, I just love people. And I guess before I didn't love myself. I didn't think I was worthy. You know, it was literally, you know how they say, you know, God will pull you out of that pit, out of that miry clay. And I don't know what miry clay is, but what I visualize is like just tar and just like being in, almost being in hell and just covered in just miry clay, just stuff, just black all over you. That's what I pictured myself as. And when he took my hand and he pulled me out, you know, and he just like cleaned me off,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he's like, I love you. You're beautiful, you know. So now I can love people that way. Now I can see people. You can show me somebody that everybody's talking ugly about because, you know, I don't like that. You know, I don't like for anybody to talk about anybody. But, and I can see them as a little kid. I can see a murderer as a little kid that something went wrong and happened to that child, you know? And that's how I'm able to love people and how I have forgiven people. Anybody that's hurt me, or if I see somebody who's hurt somebody, my mind always goes to them as a little child, you know? And God gave me that. I didn't have that before. Him. I didn't have that. So anybody that has, you know, if you've been hurt, if you've been cheated on, you've been, you know, horrible, horrible stuff happened to. If you think about that person that hurt you as a little child, like as a 2-year-old, as a 3-year-old, they were innocent and something came in. The enemy used something and tarnished and warped that child to become who hurt you or who hurt somebody else, you know? So that's what the Lord gave to me so that I can try to help people forgive other people.
Yeah. That's so good.
Mm-hmm.
That, and I've learned that from you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like whenever I've in the past not been able to forgive people or whatever, that analogy always, now I grasp that. I try to see that person as a child and then it makes it hard to hate them.
Yeah.
It makes it hard to not like them.
Yeah.
Because you're picturing they didn't know any better.
Yeah.
They were a little kid. Yeah.
And just like you were my little child.
Yeah.
You know, or you still are.
Yeah.
But and now that you're a mama, yeah. you know, and you see your baby,
yeah.
you know, and one day she's gonna be grown up.
Yep.
And she will be the result of what has happened to her,
mm-hmm.
you know, and thank God she's got loving Christian, you know, parents, but there's so many that don't.
Yeah. I'm just so thankful that I had you that, and that's what in our group chat today, that's what I think Logan said it or Scout was just like, thank you, Mom, for,
oh, yeah.
We always say it because it's so true. We could have turned out so differently.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people do just by the way they were raised. And yeah, your prayers saved a lot of from what we went through,
mm-hmm.
and protected us. Because there's things that I've even told you recently too.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I'm like, but I was protected in it.
Yeah.
Even, you know.
Yeah. And it's hard when I, And like y'all telling me stuff, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
When that was just recent.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And then as a mama, you're like, why didn't I know that? That's why we pray though. Because yeah. God does know.
Yeah.
That's the other thing is, you know, I've worried about each of you kids at different times for different things. And the Lord always says, Katie, you can't see them, but I see them.
Mm-hmm.
I love them more than you do, if you can even wrap your mind around that.
Yeah.
You know, and so that always gives me a peace. And I'm able to, you know, pray for y'all knowing that he loves y'all more than me.
More.
And he has your best interest. Y'all, we do have free choice and all that. But, and that's what I pray too. I will say that I'm like, Lord, I know they have free choice, but Lord, get your angels out.
Make it hard.
Make it for them so to make hard. Make it hard. Guide them.
Make it hard to make that wrong choice.
Okay. Knock their knees down. Whatever, yeah. You know, trip them.
Yeah. But it really, but seriously, looking back at times in my life, I'm like, how was I so lucky? But it wasn't luck. It was prayers mm-hmm. of protection mm-hmm. and things. Because in the moment, I'm like, how is that not worse? Or why? How did it just abruptly stop?
Yeah.
And to protect me from something else happening.
Yeah.
And that is wild.
Well, and you know, and you, I don't know if you remember because you were nine, but you know, when you saw angels,
yeah,
you know, you may not remember it, but I remember it. I remember your details and the action that we took. I remember that.
Okay. So I've shared that on here before.
Mm-hmm.
So like your perspective of it, what was that like for your 9-year old to come to you
mm-hmm.
after you had prayed specifically? So backstory, in case you missed that episode, when I was 9, it was like the first time I really heard from the Lord and I saw angels. And now it's hard for me to wrap my mind around. I wrote it down, whatever, in detail. But that's just the beauty of children, I think, yeah. in children's minds.
Yeah.
Anyways, mom that morning had driven by her daddy, so my pawpaw's work, stuck her hand out and was like, Lord, I need you to send somebody to talk to them, but it can't be me.
Right.
And that, so.
Exactly yeah. right. That's a,
and I saw the angels. Yeah. And they said for me to go talk to my papa. And I love that man, y'all. But then I was scared of him.
Yeah.
He intimidated me.
He intimidates a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean.
He's a softy now, but.
I'm 52. And that's my daddy. And if he says, Kathleen Elaine, I'm like, sir. We all do.
Yeah.
He's a good daddy.
Yeah.
He raised some good children. So I had done that. I had prayed. I'm like, God, I said, please send somebody to talk to my daddy. And I drove on to the restaurant and I'm in there and Devin had stayed home from school that day
because
mm-hmm. she wasn't feeling good. And then I get a phone call and I guess I hadn't been there that long.
Yeah.
And you're just crying
mm-hmm.
and you start telling me and I'm like,
no, I didn't tell you then. I was scared to tell you. I didn't tell you. I said, I need to come tell you something. Okay. And I didn't want to tell you.
And did it actually bring you to
yes.
me? Okay.
I didn't even, he didn't even know.
Okay.
Like I couldn't even, it was so powerful. I couldn't even express it in that moment.
Okay.
But there was also that fear in my head to tell you. I don't know why. That was the enemy.
Yeah.
Being like, thinking I was going to get in trouble for that.
Yeah. That's right. Because Ashley brought you up there.
Yeah. Ashley's my stepdad.
Yeah. It's my husband, her stepdaddy. So anyway, when you said everything, I completely knew that God had talked to her. Mm-hmm. I knew immediately because a 9-year-old does not just come in and you could see it on your face.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately I knew that I had to be obedient. Just like with the papers, the John 3:16 papers, I knew I had to be obedient then that because you couldn't drive. You were 9.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I left the restaurant
mm-hmm.
and I took you. And I remember calling mom and daddy and I was like, hey, me and Devin needs to come over there because Devin really needs to talk to Papa and it has to be now.
Yeah. And I remember that car ride there in our little minivan. And I was like, mama, they said it don't have to be today. Because I was started getting scared because I'm terrified of this man.
Yes.
Intimidated. And even though he loved me,
yes.
You know, and,
yes.
And so I remember like mom was like, nope, we're going. They said, you saw it. We have to be obedient. And so I learned in that moment, okay, if God talks, I got to be obedient.
Exactly.
But that taught me.
Yeah.
It was, you know.
It was so, it was like, it was one of the most beautiful things I have ever witnessed and scary things and emotional and heartbreaking, all these emotions yeah. in one. So we got there. I don't know if you remember, but my perspective. So when we got there, mama was sitting in her chair. My daddy, your papa, was sitting in his chair. These are lazy boys' chairs. And Aunt Sabrina, my mm-hmm. sister, was sitting on the couch. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yep. And then you sat on the floor.
And I sat on the floor. I mean, you were just so brave to this day. I mean,
it took me a minute to stand up there.
Yep.
And I sat by you for a minute.
Yep. And you got up. And so the late daddy, I can't remember if his feet were up or down or whatever. But anyway,
I think they were up. And then when I got up, he put them down so he could really listen.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And so, I mean, just trembling, you stood at the end of his chair. And you said, do you remember what you said?
I think I do a little bit. You tell it.
And you said, Papa,
it's
I don't
funny
want
now.
You to go to hell.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Basically. Because then I started crying. I
yeah.
said, will you go to church with us? It's like, because I don't want you
that
to go to hell.
That was the second thing that you
okay.
said. So the
yeah.
first thing was something along the lines of, and you just like,
and I felt like I was cussing.
Because you said something about Jesus. And then you said, because I don't want you to go to hell. And I'm sobbing.
Because you didn't know what I was going to say.
I had no idea. Because you didn't tell me what
yeah.
you the angel said.
Yo, I'm laughing because I can remember that in that moment. In me.
Yes.
Saying
and,
that.
And I'm sitting on the floor and I'm just like, you know, and I knew God was just like preparing you for today.
Yeah.
I mean, because I look back and I'm like, wow, we just did that.
Yeah.
And so then as soon as you said that, you couldn't, nobody said nothing.
It was so quiet.
And then you came and you like sat down right beside me on the floor and you had your head like right here. And
I was
just like
sobbing.
And I was like, I'm so proud of you.
She
you
was
did so
I know,
good,
you were
baby.
Good job, baby. I
yes,
know.
I said you did what you were supposed to do, and I was like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah,
because I'm like, she did it, angels. She did it. Can we go now?
Yeah, because
and
nobody
then,
said anything.
And then
I was like, thought I was gonna get in trouble,
and so I'm going, it's okay, baby. You're doing so good. And then you go, I'm not done yet, and I went, what?
But what's crazy is it wasn't some beautiful, elegant speech that the angels
no,
had, that Jesus was, the Holy Spirit was pouring over me to say.
Yeah.
It was for a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
I was very basic.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes to show, too, you don't have
simplicity.
To be eloquent. Simplicity.
Yeah.
I was talking about, you need to know Jesus, or you're going to go to hell.
Exactly.
And then we got up.
And you got back up when you said, I'm not done yet. And I was like, okay.
I forgot about that part.
And you got back. Not only did you do it, you got back up to do it. And you were standing there. And I remember my daddy, he's like, his lips are quivering.
That's going to make me cry thinking about it. I'm laughing, but it really was so emotional in that moment.
It was. That's what I'm saying. It was all of this stuff. And, I mean, nobody was laughing.
Aunt Sabrina was crying.
Yes.
Nanny was crying.
That's right. And so you got back up and you stood at the end of his chair and you looked at him and you said, Papa, will you go to church with me? And he sat there and he said, well, I tell you what, I'm not making no promises, but we'll see.
I know. And you know what's so special is, and the thing is, so we just be obedient, right?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that the other person is going to follow
right.
through too. Like, as long as we're obedient,
we did our part.
Job.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what they do.
Exactly.
And
right.
But I will say, what is so special is the first time that he went to church with me was on my wedding day.
I know. I love that.
I know.
And
so
I
it took
that.
All those years.
Yeah.
But
and I thought that
yeah.
day when you got married, I thought that. I'm like, Daddy's at church.
Yes. That is so sweet. Oh, yeah. I love that man. And I wonder, I'm like, is that why he cries every time he sees me now? Like, he's become like a big teddy bear.
He might be thinking, oh, Lord, what the angels tell her?
What's it going to tell her today? That is hilarious. Woo. So if you have anything on your heart or that you just feel like you want to say, like someone listening, if they're feeling discouraged and or they see how far you've come and just how you're a complete different person, and they want to know Jesus, they want to learn about him or whatever, is there anything that you would say to them?
Definitely be intentional. Just pray. And I don't mean God is great, God is good. Just go sit in some people have a prayer closet. I have a prayer chair. Just go get very quiet. Just go sit in there and, you know, turn your phone off, you know, even for 2 minutes. But if you can do longer, do that. But just ask God. Say, Lord, I need you. I need you to guide me. I need some wisdom. I want to be closer to you. And he'll show you.
Yeah.
He'll shut doors. He will open doors. Mm-hmm. And just like you said, when you prayed that prayer at the stop sign, mm-hmm. and what did he tell you?
Yeah. What? You're asking me what he told me?
Yeah.
Like to just ask him.
Yeah. Just ask.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so simple.
Well, thank you for coming and chatting with me. And literally, you've only given a glimpse, a sliver of your testimony. And but I love how we got to see just kind of how your transformation happened in that way. But I love you so much.
I love you, baby.
Come back on here and we can talk more because you got a lot of stories to tell.
Yes.
Funny ones.
Anytime.
Great ones. Yes. All that.
Anytime.
Well, thank you all for listening and we'll see you next Monday. Bye.